There isn't much better than spring turning to summer in Oxford, Mississippi. Double decker, the Grove Bowl, concerts at the Lyric in Vaught Hemingway Stadium, beer showers in right field at Swayze. And don't worry, Tecovas is here to make sure your fit is right as you're stepping out on the square during this festival style season. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store today. Shop new styles with a complimentary drink on the house. Many Tecovas stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. There's just no in-store experience quite like it. And if you can't make it to a store, that's okay. Check out Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. Tecovas offers free shipping on all boots, free returns and exchanges too. And they ship right to your door. Head over to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
All we can be sure of is this.
Zach Berry and Grayson Weir are hashtag not committed.
I love a good train wreck.
Hey, what up? This is Not Committed. I am your host, Zach Berry. Joining me as always, Grayson Weir. It is a bittersweet episode as we come to you this Thursday morning as it is Grayson's final show. It is his bid adieu to us all as he moves on to a new gig. Grayson, good morning. It is is heavy heart, but also a heavy hand. And congratulations.
Thank you. It's going to be a heck of a run. Y'all stay tuned. Follow me on Twitter. I'm not at liberty to tell everyone where I'm going quite yet, but there'll be a move here in the next couple days and weeks that unfortunately pulls me away from Not Committed, but that does not mean that Zach and I will not continue to keep you updated on all things Ole Miss. Obviously Zach more than myself. Stay locked at the Ole Miss Spirit. Those guys are doing a great job over there. You included, Zach. And this won't be the last you hear from me, but it will be the last that you hear from me on the Ole Miss Spirit Podcast Network.
Yeah, I mean, basically what you're saying is to respect your decision.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. Well done there with the recruiting
call. Yeah. A little tip of the cap to my old show back in the day, but which I think it's still out there. I don't know. Maybe somebody took the exact same name of the podcast. I don't know. All right. So we asked for a mailbag, and the good folks over at OM Spirit, part of On Three, came through. Let's just get right into it. This one's coming out of the gate with some heat. Matt Smith is asking, what would your ultimate run out from the bullpen song be as a closer? He is saying that his is definitely Out of the Black by Royal Blood. I can't say I'm familiar with that one, but I'm going to go to you first because I got to think for a minute.
Yeah, so I've actually had this debate with someone recently, and I've had a couple different options. It depends on where I'm playing. And it depends on, like, let's just say, I don't know. Let's just say I'm playing for the freaking, I don't know, Milwaukee Brewers. So there's no ties. Cause if I'm playing in Boston, I'm probably going out to like some bagpipes or something. If I'm playing in LA, I'm probably going out to like some reggae, something different. But if I'm just going like straight down the middle, this is my team. I'm coming out. Here it is. Like the most intense thing I can think of. I'm coming out to LL Cool J's Mama Said Knock You Out. And I know that's a different one because I've had this debate with someone recently and we threw out millions and millions and hundreds of songs. I had Run the Jewels was on there. There was some like Wiz Khalifa, some Outkast, but Mama Said Knock You Out. I feel like if you just come out to that chorus and then you throw straight gas, like 101, 102, punch down three guys to close out a game. I think that would be pretty intense. So I think that's where I ended up landing. Mama Said Knock You Out by LL Cool J.
Man, this is tough. Yeah, I'm trying to think of like some good like intro, like, you know, you're obviously, I guess, depending on how long you plan on warming up, you're not going to get like the entire song, but, and this is a difficult question for me. I don't know about you. I go through phases with music. Definitely. And now with college football cranking up, I am hardly listening to music at all. I'm just all podcasts all the time. And I even do podcasts when I run, which my wife thinks I'm a psycho for that. I just run to people talking instead of music. Just recency bias, because I recently had a buddy, shout out to Mr. Matt Howard, who he and his brother Zach both shared with me the music video for Audio Slaves, and I actually don't even know how you say this. Is it Cochise? Cochise, which actually the song was originally titled Save Yourself after the chorus, but it's actually named after an Apache Indian chief who, quote, declared war on the Southeast and drove out thousands of settlers. So shout out to him for telling people to get the fuck out. So Tom Morello, who obviously Rage Against the Machine was with Audioslave, said that, quote, Cochise the Avenger, fearless and resolute, attacked everything in his path with it in his path, good Lord, with an unbridled fury. That sounds like a closer to me. Do yourself a favor and listen to that. And if you don't want to run through a brick wall and strike out three people to win a game, I don't know what'll do it. So yeah, I'm going to go with Cochise from Audioslave.
I like that. And then another one that I had that we were talking about with my buddy the other day that would just be funny is be hilarious if you walked out to Let's Get It On by Marvin Gaye.
My walkout song in high school was Ooh Nothing by Project Pat.
That's good.
So that's a classic. That's good. Matt Smith also followed up. Is there any concern at all that Aiden Williams might spurn Ole Miss last minute? I do not believe so.
I don't think so either.
I know our very own Ben Garrett posted in the thread, I believe 2 days ago, so Tuesday as we were recording this, that the sense around the Ole Miss program and the recruitment of Aiden Williams is more and more positive towards the Rebels. I have not heard anything else. I actually spoke with a couple sources this morning, said they still expect Ole Miss. The thing to watch here, and even if he commits, I don't think this will be an issue. We talked about this on Tuesday's show, or maybe it was last week, where Aiden Williams might, he seems like the type of kid that will honor an official visit and go to Tennessee because he told Josh Heupel he will come. Now, I don't know if he will. He may not. Once he commits, he might just shut it down and focus on his senior season. He is still scheduled to visit Knoxville. We'll see if it actually happens. But no, as of 10:21 a.m. Central Time, I do not think there's any concern there.
Yeah, no, I haven't heard anything that would suggest otherwise either.
All right, Rambling Rebel bringing the heat here. He says, on the previous show, you offered a wonderful assessment of The Bear and other shows, namely Severance. Great show. I agree. Rambling Rebel. He's curious about our hindsight thought in saying Severance was the best first season of any television show ever. Now, this is what I said. Grayson did not say this. So
yes, I cannot attach that.
Okay, yeah. I don't know if you co-sign that or not. He says, what I'm curious about is juxtaposing Severance with the first season of True Detective, which still blows me out of the atmosphere with how amazing it was. Is Severance really better than the straight G True Detective season one? All right, so just a disclaimer here, maybe an asterisk when discussing this. And this might make me sound like a super hipster when it comes to television, but I don't include True Detective on this list or this Mount Rushmore or whatever you want to call it, because it was an anthology series. Each season of True Detective was different storyline, different characters, all that. If we're throwing that out, then True Detective season one is absolutely on the list. I mean, one of the more incredible things that I've ever seen I mean, just completely enamored with it. It was so incredibly done. I mean, Matthew McConaughey was iconic in that. Woody Harrelson was phenomenal. It's easily one of the best things that I've ever watched. Nick Pizzolatto was phenomenal in creating and writing that. That was honestly the first time I ever really got into Reddit and getting into the threads and the theories and breaking down scenes. I mean, there were threads for days and days and days about True Detective season one. So that's my thing, that I don't include it because of that. I don't know if you prepared a statement here, but as far as other best season ones for me, I mean, I think The Bear and Severance are right there next to each other. I would probably throw...
I like Friday Night Lights. The first season is like pretty much as perfect as it can get. Season two is not great, and then 3 through 5 get a little bit better. But season one of Friday Night Lights is one of my favorite. Like,
yeah, absolutely. I'd probably throw Lost in there. Just the sheer
Lost for sure.
The sheer volume, literally and figuratively, of like that first season, and just the whole like plane crash, and these people are stranded, and you know, at the time, because you know, obviously you learn later, 6 years later in the show, that it could have potentially been, you know, the afterlife, or been you know, stuck in purgatory or limbo or whatever, however you interpret it. Lost is one of my favorite shows of all time. I would probably also throw, I mean, you gotta put Game of Thrones in there. I mean, the balls to kill off a main character early on was wild. And
How I Met Your Mother is kind of a good one out there.
Don't get me started on that.
Walking Dead.
Walking Dead started out so strong, and then it just completely flamed out.
Yeah, I watched that one with my dad. He was like irrationally angry by the third season.
Dude, I mean, that was must see television for us. We watched it religiously, and then it just got so bad. If I'm gonna throw in some curveballs, you know, not intense dramas, I'd probably Arrested Development.
Yeah, good call.
First season of that is, I mean, the whole show up until the end when they started getting weird and doing, you know, full-on character episodes, where Netflix screwed it up, but early on it's one of the best shows ever. Jason Bateman is just the best. Michael Cera's great in it. And then I'd probably throw Gossip Girl in there, and hate all you want, but that is a phenomenal show.
Yeah. I'm gonna throw one more out there. I'm gonna go Planet Earth.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
Planet Earth 1 is awesome. Planet Earth 2 is also awesome. But Planet Earth
visually captivating.
Insane.
Also, last one before we move on, Homeland. One of the best shows that I've seen over the last 10 years. Mandy Patinkin is Saul Berenson is phenomenal. Claire Danes absolutely kills it in that show. I mean, it was just incredible acting from everybody. All right. UM010 is asking about Isaac Smith. Is Ole Miss slow playing, or is he not interested in Ole Miss? I wrote about this in the Target Practice series. There is some communication there, but I do think they have several other safeties ahead of him on their board. And then I've talked about the DJ Durkin connection. He was super tight with Durkin. Ole Miss was very much in the picture, probably the favorite, and then he left for A&M. So I think that kind of soured the connection with Ole Miss there. But they're still talking. And I'm not sure if Isaac Smith is close at all to making a commitment. So that's my take on where that is right now.
Well, first and foremost, Adewamba Agricultural easy for me to say, is one of my favorite names for a high school, just like ever. So take that for what you will. I just had to throw that in there. That's an incredible name for a high school, Itawamba Agricultural. But yeah, no, Isaac Smith, I think, is pretty wide open at this point. I don't think he's in any rush to commit. I think if he was going to be in a rush to commit, it would have been to Ole Miss. But like you said, Durkin's off to A&M. I think the teams that are still, you know, pretty in the mix are pretty on par with what On3's database has. Vanderbilt, State, Ole Miss, and then like Tennessee hanging around in the background. But that could all change. I mean, I think he's as wide open as it gets, as of right now, willing to listen to anybody and everybody, not quite ready to narrow in his sights just yet. Perhaps had narrowed in on Ole Miss and is now kind of stepping back out to that 30,000 foot view, trying to figure out where he best fits in. Like you said, from what I understand, Ole Miss has a couple other safeties that they might be trying to go after too. But if they miss on those guys, I'm sure they would make a back end push for Isaac Smith because he's a good player. He's in state. And if you're recruiting against Mississippi State, and this is, I think this kind of goes across the board. If you're Ole Miss right now recruiting against Mississippi State, and it's kind of down to those two schools, it's hard to lose that battle unless Mississippi State has been in it since like day one, and Ole Miss got in the race later. But Ole Miss and Mississippi State got in on Isaac Smith around the same time. So if Ole Miss really wanted to make a push for Isaac Smith, I think that they could go get him, but they're willing to be patient. And I think Isaac Smith is being more than patient right now, with a lot of ball left to play in his recruitment.
Yeah. All right. Next, my Kilton fan, how are things going with Suntarian Perkins? Is a flip to Alabama still expected? We've talked about this on the show. We talked about it on the board. Talked about it, a couple pieces you can find over at OM Spirit. I don't think so. It was very much a possibility. I know there were some flip predictions put in the recruiting prediction machine, but during Juice Fest 22, Perkins was in town. The staff really hunkered down and, you know, I think they righted the wrongs, or if there were any wrongs. I mean, I don't think there were. I think it was just, you know, it's he's been very upfront about how Alabama's his dream school. The aura, the opportunity to play for Nick Saban is a big deal, but it seems that Ole Miss has cleared up anything there, any concerns that he might have had, or maybe they just put in a little extra recruiting pitch there to keep him in the class. I mean, Alabama's not going to go away. I mean, it's Nick Saban, it's the Crimson Tide, it's built by Bama, all those things. But I still expect him to sign with Ole Miss.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of ball left here too. Alabama's, like you said, not going to go away. They're going to continue to recruit him. I'm not going to rule out a flip because it's still a very realistic possibility. However, with all of that smoke back in early July when Perkins was there in Tuscaloosa for that official visit, he changed his profile picture, you know, to an Alabama photo. At that point in time, I think I would have said, you know, he is likely to flip. And I think a lot of people, perhaps even yourself included, would have said similarly. If he was going to do so, I think he would have done so by now. It has now been, you know, a month and a half-ish since his official to Tuscaloosa, and he hasn't flipped yet. I think that's a good sign. And then you and I both have heard similar things, but you are even more confident than I am that Ole Miss really did shore things up at Juice Fest, and I heard similarly. I think more than likely he stays at Ole Miss. Stays committed to Ole Miss rather. But I mean, like you said, Alabama's always going to be hanging around. There was always a chance that he could flip at the last second. But I think that if he was going to do so, he would have done so already.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Lane's Sane Clown Posse. It's a great name.
Yeah, it is.
He kept the receipts. He said to remind us to answer this question next time. How different is it covering recruiting with the portal now involved compared to high school only? And, oh, great call back here. He said, LB's has the meats and Arby's is full of shit.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know the vibes there.
Yeah, thanks for sticking with us.
Yeah. All right. With the portal, I mean, it's honestly going to be, I mean, recruiting, you know, I always say recruiting never stops. But now, like, truly, like, literally, it will never stop. You're going to have to continue to recruit guys that are on your roster. I mean, you're going to have some true freshmen this year that I think are going to turn some heads on the field. I definitely think Quinshon Judkins is a guy that's going to really turn some heads. Davison Igbinosin, probably going to have some defensive guys besides Igbinosin step up, and, you know, maybe somebody like Jaron Willis or a Taylor Groves or a Tyler Banks. I mean, you're going to have these guys that have plenty of eligibility left, and if they have a fantastic season at Ole Miss, maybe named to the All-SEC freshman team, maybe a freshman All-American, you know, can't stop anyone from coming to call and see if they want to, you know, leave Ole Miss to go to Oklahoma or to Southern Cal or to Texas or, you know, insert school here. So I think that that's how it's affected the game, is how you're – it's not over once they land at your school and they sign. There were always concerns with, hey, I don't like the fit, or, you know, got homesick, or I'm not getting enough playing time, I'm going to look elsewhere. But I mean, now it's, I mean, you could have a guy that's completely and totally happy with their decision and love where they are, but then somebody else comes calling and they might want to rethink their college career, and maybe they want to go play at a quote bigger name. I do think Ole Miss, now they're not immune to it. It's going to happen, and they're going to have to fight off some other suitors. But being in the SEC and being in the SEC West is going to help Ole Miss, I think. Now, I'm not saying it's not going to happen and there's no chance that anyone will leave, because that's false. There's always a chance, but you're playing in the best conference. You're playing in the best division in college football. The floor is yours. I mean, if you want to make a name for yourself, you want to impress NFL scouts, you want to build a resume to get to the NFL, I mean, you have it every Saturday. You're going to be on live television across the world every single week, whether that's ESPN, SEC Network, you know, ESPN Plus, SEC Network Plus, whatever. You're going to be there. So I think that helps, as opposed to if you're at a place like UTEP or, you know, App State or UMass, where you may not be on television every single week. I mean, when you're at Ole Miss, you're going to be there on television playing for the masses every single game. So, they're still going to have to battle it, but I think that's the biggest change with recruiting, is it literally never stops, regardless of if they're a 2024 prospect or there's somebody that's a redshirt freshman. They're always going to be there.
Yeah, and I think the big change, at least, I mean, I kind of cut my teeth, if you will, in like true recruiting coverage. This was kind of my first year where, like, I've followed recruiting, I've covered recruiting, you know, in various capacities, whatever. This is kind of the first year that I've had, you know, twice a week for the most part over the last 6-7 months, where we were talking exclusively recruiting. And we got started back in January with the whole Jackson Dart thing. And I want to pat ourselves on the back here. There were some other podcasts and some other people out there around the Oxford community, particularly within the sports reporting area, who were trying to tell us that we were wrong. The entire time we were right. So I think the biggest challenge that I have seen covering high school versus the transfer portal is that with the transfer portal, there's a lot less access. You know, for high school recruiting, you're going to camps, you're talking to recruits, you're able to kind of hit them up on the DMs. When they're in the transfer portal, a lot of those guys don't want to talk. There's not a lot of information coming out of, you know, really anything, because take the Caleb Williams, for example, alongside the Jackson Dart, there was a lot of smoke and mirrors going on both sides. Like, for a minute there, BYU was really confident that Jackson Dart was going to be transferring to Provo, or at least BYU fans and reporters. That obviously wasn't the case, but then they stirred that up based on something they heard, which was completely different than from what we heard. So with the transfer portal element to it, one, like you said, you know, it's year round until they implement the windows, which, if I'm not mistaken, they decided not to do during the off season. I think they made the decision that they're going to like punt that down the road, but until they put the windows in, one, you know, it's year round. And then two, with the transfer portal, there just isn't a lot of access. There isn't a lot of information. There's a lot of, you know, with recruiting high schoolers, these kids are announcing their official offers. The schools are announcing their official offers. It's kind of all publicized along the way, you know, with a timeline of this kid visited this school at this day, at this time, versus within the transfer portal, you know, Lane Kiffin, yeah, we knew he was, you know, on a plane. I was able to get his, you know, number tracked. I found out he was going to Los Angeles, but he could have been going to LA for, you know, he was going to LA to visit Jackson Dart, but Jackson Dart was living in Utah. So for all we know, those two things could have not corresponded. So with the transfer portal, it just makes things a lot more difficult to keep tabs on who is going where, who is doing what, who's been offered for X, Y, and Z. And where they're ultimately going to end up, because there is that lack of access. There is that lack of, you know, publicized process to it. A lot of it's done behind closed doors. So that, at least for me, having covered, particularly when I was with the DM back in college, you know, I covered that recruiting class in 2018. It would have been 2018 recruiting class. You know, I was all over that. That was very different than the experience that I had back in January when I was on the phone with people in LA. I was on the phone with, you know, people all over the country trying to get in touch with freaking Zach Wilson's mom to see if she had any idea where Jackson Dart was going to end up. It was just very different than recruiting. So there's definitely a huge difference there between, you know, just recruiting high or covering recruitment of high schoolers versus the covering of the transfer portal. So yes, to answer your question, there is a huge difference there. And it makes things a lot busier, and I won't use the word messy because that's the wrong word, but for a lack of a better word, it just makes things muddier, messier, and a little harder to keep track of.
Yeah. Tons and tons and tons of variables have been introduced over the last year that I think it's more fun.
I do too.
I think you have to work a little harder, dig a little deeper, get creative with how you, you know, vet your sources, and, you know, trust but verify has always been the mantra. But yeah, I think it makes it a lot more interesting to follow and to cover. Sleepy Giacomo is asking, are the coaches going after any other quarterbacks for this upcoming class, or are they set with Marcel Reed only? I covered this in my target practice piece. We've talked about it. They are perfectly set, perfectly ready to move on to 2024 and Walker White. Marcel Reed's their guy. I think people are going to see, in my opinion, how valid and how legitimate he is as a senior. Now that he is a commit, people are going to pay more attention, obviously. I think we're going to see he's an extremely talented prospect.
Yep.
And I know that, and look, everybody wants the high-ranked guys and the five stars and all of that with, you know, Arch Manning early on and Jaden Rashada, but Marcel Reed is a phenomenal quarterback. Not only a phenomenal quarterback, he's a phenomenal athlete that I think they're going to really take notice as they pay closer attention to him now that he's a commit and see what he's capable of. And I think Ole Miss fans are going to be more than pleased with him as a commit in this class and a quarterback for the future.
Definitely. And we've talked about this at nauseam, so I won't like go too deep into it, but there's no need to go get another quarterback. You've got at least, you know, Jackson Dart or Luke Altmyer, if not both, on the roster next year, depending on transfers and all that stuff. So you have a guy that's, you know, locked in. You've got the future kind of shirt up in terms of a starter. You just need someone to back him up. And, you know, Marcel Reed is not ready yet, but by the time he's an upperclassman, him and Walker White, who you and I both believe will ultimately end up in Oxford, and it seems like pretty much a sure thing at this point, the two of them will end up battling it out 2-3 years from now for that starting quarterback job. So there's no need to go get somebody else. You're not in any rush. You're not in any worry. And Marcel Reed is legit. So there's no need. And Ole Miss has the staff and all those guys have decided that they're comfortable where they are and they're ready to look ahead to Walker White, like you said.
Yeah. All right. Next, Powder Blue Rev wants to know best guess on stat lines for a couple guys. Start with Michael Trigg. I'm assuming he's wanting to know like yards, touchdowns, all that. Trigg, I'd probably I'll say 50 receptions and close to 600 yards receiving.
I'm going to go even further. I'm going to go ahead and say that he averages about 70 yards per game. I mean, we saw him in one game last year, or really rather, let me say that again. We saw him in four games last year, and he didn't really get that many touches. I think that was a part of the fact was he was a freshman. Part of the fact that was, you know, it was a new offense. Things were going crazy. It was still Clay Helton was still there. And then he got injured, but I think he averages close to 60 yards a game. I think he's going to be a really highly targeted guy. So I'll say around 700, 750 yards receiving. I think he's going to get a touchdown a game. I think that's a very reasonable expectation that Michael Trigg will find the end zone on average about once per game, maybe like 0.75 per game, whatever. And I think he'll probably have about 5 or 6 catches a game. I think he's going to be used a lot in this offense. I think him and Jalen Robinson are going to complement each other really, really well over the middle. So I would guess, I don't know, call it 700 yards and 50, 60 catches.
All right. Ulysses Bentley the fourth. I'm going to say 690 yards all purpose.
I was going to go all purpose too, because I don't know what nobody knows what the split's going to look like in the backfield. I think they're going to be using both of those guys in the backfield a lot together. I think we've seen that out of camp already. I think that Ulysses Bentley and Zach Evans will be on the field together a pretty decent amount. And I think you're going to use Bentley more all over the field than Evans will be out of the backfield mostly. Maybe you push him out in motion, but I think Ulysses Bentley will be moving into the slot. He'll be in the backfield, you know, lining up outside of tight end as like a slot back coming into motion, all kinds of things. I think your estimate's probably about right. 700 all purpose yards, give or take.
Okay. Quinshon Judkins. You know me. I'm a big Judkins stan. I'm going to say, I'm going to say 512 rushing yards and 8 touchdowns. I think they use him in the red zone a lot. And Zach Evans is more than capable of handling the load, and he's a big physical guy too. But I think they're going to want to keep him very fresh. And I think you're going to see a lot of long Zach Evans runs that get into the red zone, or like a screen to Bentley that gets him down there. And then they bring in Judkins fresh with a full head of steam and he pounds it in. Kind of similar to what you saw with Snoop Connor last year.
Yeah, so I'm looking at the stats from last year right now. Jerrion Ealy was the team's leading rusher at about 770. Then Snoop Connor at about 650. Then Corral at 615, and then Parrish. I think this year's split will be a little bit similar. Obviously, Corral and Dart slash Altmaier may not, you know, reach that 600 plus number like Matt Corral, who seemingly, you know, fell forward for a yard every single time. I think you've got Zach Evans will be the primary ball carrier, and he'll be closer to that Jerrion Ealy number around 800 yards. And then I think below him, I think you'll see Ulysses Bentley. I think his yardage will be less as a rusher because it's going to be more as a receiver, kind of like in that Henry Parrish role last year. And then, like you said, I think Judkins is going to kind of fall in that bully spot. I'll say 500 yards rushing and 11 touchdowns is what I'll go with.
Okay. I like that. Last year, Braylon Brown, a guy that battled through injury last year, looks to be close to 100%, has flashed in fall camp. I'm going to say, I'll go 380 yards receiving and 4 touchdowns.
So this is tricky because Braylon Brown is really, really good, but he's not going to get the shine that he deserves. I think largely because Mingo and Robinson are going to take the bulk of downfield targets, and then there'll be Bentley and Evans out of the backfield getting a lot of screens and dinks and dunks and things of that nature. So Braylon Brown may not get the shine that he deserves, especially considering that Danish Jackson's also been turning it on. Dart's found a rapport with him. We saw that during the scrimmage on Saturday with that 80-yard bomb where Danish just blew by that corner. I forget who it was at cornerback, but I won't put him on blast. Braylon Brown, I think, finishes as the team's third leading receiver as a receiver. I'm not going to include the Bentley and Evans in this situation, but I'm going to say third leading wide receiver behind Mingo, behind Jalen Robinson. I'm going to go like 400 yards receiving and 3 touchdowns.
Okay. All very fair.
But I think he's like has the potential to really blossom into a star. I just don't know if he's going to get as many touches as he, I guess, needs or deserves.
Yeah. I mean, I think, yeah, a year that you see the potential, you see the flashes, and then that will lead into a big 2023 for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said.
All right, last one before we hit the break. Powder Blue Rev also wants to know, any tips for someone wanting to get into writing / journalism, not just sports specific, but overall? First off, I would say just start writing.
Yep.
I can't even remember what it was. It might have been, no, it was WordPress. I started a WordPress way back when I was living in New York and just started writing about random sports stuff. Just to, you know, put the proverbial pen to the proverbial paper. Hardly ever write these days. I type everything, but I would say just start writing stuff down. Like you have a thought or you have, you know, a take on something. Just put the words down somewhere and just get it there. He said not sports specific, but I would say find something that you like thoroughly enjoy. You thoroughly love and focus on that, because then it won't feel like you're quote unquote working. It'll just feel like something that you're passionate about. Obviously I'm passionate about sports, passionate about covering recruiting, passionate about college football. That makes it very easy. It doesn't feel like I'm working. It doesn't feel like a job. It's something that I like to think about all day, every day. So that makes it very easy. But yeah, I would say just start something, whether that be you can start a WordPress. I don't know what other free journal blog type stuff you can do, but yeah, just do that. And then just find something that you enjoy and just harp on that.
Yeah, I don't have much to add there. Just become an expert in something, or at least a quasi-expert in like a couple of topics. Obviously, for you and me, Zach, it's college football is like our thing, and then for you, even more so than me, but me as well. You know, kind of narrowed in on that Ole Miss beat and that SEC beat, and then kind of go from there. But the biggest thing that I can stress is just get words on a page, read a lot. That's something that I try to do every single day is to get a feel of how other people write. You know, The Athletic, I would really recommend if you don't have a subscription. They do a really good job of like some more long form stuff. You can get a feel for different voices, for different types of, I guess like phrasing and cadence and all that stuff. And then just go from there. Just get words on a page, read a lot, get on the spirit, see what Zach's got cooking, see how he writes, try to implement some of the things that you like from Zach's writing into yours, try to like define your own voice, but just go out and actually do it. That's the biggest thing is get the words on the page, see what happens, and then keep an eye out. Like there is a media boom right now. More than ever, there are all kinds of different publications as big as millions of viewers and readers to as small as like 50 or 60. There are opportunities out there. Look for one that makes sense for you. Keep your eye on the pulse, and just do it. Like just get out there and do it, and if you're good, you'll realize right away that words come easy. If you're really struggling with it, then maybe it's just not for you, and that's okay. But you won't know that until you get words on a page.
I mean, new media is huge now.
Yep.
It's something else that I'm passionate about is golf. I love to play golf, love to consume it, watch it, listen, play, everything. And I mean, just golf media in general. I mean, No Laying Up, friends of the program. I mean, they started out as just a bunch of dudes blogging. And then now, I mean, they're probably one of the biggest names in golf, probably one of the bigger authorities on Twitter. Their podcast is outstanding. Sally does a phenomenal job running their podcast. I mean, they do incredible video work on YouTube. And then just their basic commentary during tournaments is an outstanding thing to follow. The fried egg, shotgun start, two guys, Brendan Porath, Andy Johnson, two guys that started out as bloggers and just fans of golf and just wanted to, find something that they were passionate about. They did that. And then now two of the best podcasts for golf with the Shotgun Start and the Fried Egg. And they do it all. They do, hilarious commentary. They do the nuts and bolts of golf tournaments, and their coverage of everything around the LIV Tour has been really, really great. And then they'll do some really, hardcore golf, like architecture and, the design of bunkers and how to, read different greens. And I mean, you can get as silly and as intense and, as you want with how they cover golf. You can, a guy like Robbie Berger and Bob Does Sports. I mean, just a guy that wanted to get into that industry and just, made his own path. And, he is now one of the bigger names. You can call him an influencer, you can call him a YouTube star or whatever, but he's doing his thing. And again, just found something that he wanted to do and he loved to do every day. And I think that's the key to success is just, if there's an all-encompassing theme here, it's just find something that doesn't feel like work.
Yep.
That's kind of the big thing here. All right, we're gonna take our first break. When we come back, we're gonna pin down Grayson and gonna force him to give us a hot take, a bold prediction before he leaves us. So hang tight, we'll be right back.
This podcast is brought to you by Lamar Yard, Oxford's indoor-outdoor restaurant, bar, and entertainment space on South Lamar. They now have an updated menu with non-barbecue options from Tex-Mex to Mississippi Delta catfish to smash burgers. And you can contact Lamar Yard for your private events for the spring and summer. They have a dedicated event coordinator who will help you plan your event from start to finish, and they offer on-site catering. From weddings to Greek parties or corporate events, Lamar Yard is the perfect place to host your next party. Lamar Yard is Oxford's quintessential family and pet-friendly venue, and they look forward to hosting you soon. Check them out at lamaryard.com. And if you want a place for clever dishes and captivating cocktails, look no further than Solal in South Lamar. Chef Erica and her committed team of food and beverage enthusiasts are bringing top-notch cuisine and libations to you 6 days a week. Whether it's happy hour 3 to 6, fresh squeezed margaritas, ramen, 2-for-1 Moscow mules, all of that and more, the best and brightest in-house or via curbside pickup. Check them out, solaoxford.com, or call them at 662-238-3500 and place your order today. Show also brought to you by Memphis restauranteur Kelly English and his restaurant group in Memphis, Tennessee. The renowned chef and his team are offering nationwide shipping and virtual cooking classes with Cooking with Kelly. You can learn more about the nationwide shipping at irisetc.com, and you can also book a virtual cooking class online at table22.com/iris. Kelly English Restaurant Group in Memphis, Second Line Restaurant Iris, and the Magnolia House down on the coast in Biloxi. The show is also brought to you by Cherokee Valley Golf Course in Olive Branch, Mississippi. Get on over, see Cody Allen and the rest of the crew take on their challenge of the wide plush Zoysia fairways and large championship Bermuda greens. They've got 2 putting greens to hone in your game with the flat stick, a driving range, and a chipping green to tighten up that short game. Book a tee time online at olivebranchgolf.com or give them a call at 662-893-4444.
Here in Oxford, Mississippi, golf matters. For the Ole Miss Rebels, the casual looking to knock out a quick 18. Yes, we care about the fit when we hit the course, and PXG Apparel has something for everyone. Me? You Talk of Champions listeners know I'm a daily hat wearer, and especially at University Course or Oxford Country Club. PXG has mastered a snapback for any type of weather or occasion. My navy goes with pretty much everything. Point is, PXG has you covered for any and all golf attire, making sure the fit is right in all the right places. Made with premium materials and technology designed for peak performance, these confidence-inspiring looks invite all-day play, taking you seamlessly from a round of golf to the office to a night on the square. Elevate your style game on and off the course with the PXG Spring-Summer 2024 collection. Head over to pxg.com/TOC and use code TOC for Talk of Champions at checkout to save 10% on all apparel. That's pxg.com/TOC and use code TOC at checkout to save 10% on all apparel. Ole Miss fans, you can never be too careful, especially these days and with young kids at home. Don't take any chances and secure your home with Eufy Smart Lock, an easy install, all-in-one security device for your front door and that peace of mind we're all looking for. I myself am a Eufy user, and I can tell you firsthand, go ahead and ditch those house keys forever, grab a Phillips head screwdriver because that's all you'll need, and give Eufy Smart Lock a try today. No monthly fee, and Eufy customer service is waiting on standby 24/7 to help you with any and all home security needs. So what are you waiting for? Head to Vault Hemingway or the Pavilion or Swayze Field to cheer on your Ole Miss Rebels with the reassurance your home is in good hands with Eufy Smart Lock. Eufy Video Lock makes it easy to keep an eye on things back home. Its built-in camera can tell you who's at the front door from the comfort of your stadium seat. Search Eufy Video Lock. That's EUFY Video Lock. Or visit eufyofficial.com, eufyofficial.com/video lock, to see how you can gain complete control of your door. That's Eufy Smart Lock and Eufy Video Lock, a proud sponsor of the Talk of Champions podcast network.
And we are back here on Not Committed. This is Grayson's swan song as he will be departing after this. I asked you before we started to give me a bold prediction. It could be recruiting related. It could be 2022 season related. It could be related to anything. It doesn't have to be Ole Miss specific. It could be all encompassing to the college football playoff or the season, whatever. So let's hear it. You got anything saucy for us before we end the show?
I don't know if it's that bold. but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. We were talking about Ulysses Bentley on the last segment there and kind of throwing out a stat line. I was a little hesitant to do so because it directly coincides with my hot take, or I guess like bold prediction or whatever. I think Ulysses Bentley is going to be SEC first team player this year, and that might be a surprise. I think he's going to earn that. I think they call it like all purpose, like first team all purpose or whatever spot. So I think Zach Evans and Ulysses Bentley will both be first team all SEC players. I think Zach Evans will be first team as a running back. I think Ulysses Bentley will be all purpose, because when you look at Lane Kiffin's offense and now Charlie Weiss Jr. and Lane Kiffin's offense, the tempo is obviously there. You're learning a lot of plays. There's a ton of volume. There's a lot of opportunities to be getting the ball. And everything we've heard out of fall camp is that they're going to be getting the running backs the ball a lot. And I think that has a lot to do with the fact that both Altmyer and Dart are young. I think they need that kind of reliable check down or that reliable designed play to where they can look to a first target, maybe Michael Trigg running like a post route over the middle. And you look for Trigg, and if the linebacker's got him locked up, or if they push down a defensive back, which I think is going to happen a lot for Michael Trigg, they put a defensive back down to cover double team Trigg with that linebacker. Okay, Trigg's not there. Turn to the left, look for left or right, look for Ulysses Bentley out of the backfield. I think he's going to be involved a lot on third down. I think on fourth down too, I think we'll see Zach Evans on first and second down. I think we'll see a lot of chunk yardage out of him. We've seen what a special player he could be. Might even play himself into Heisman contention, or at the very least, play himself into the conversation to where, you know, the Ole Miss fans can make that Zach Evans for Heisman campaign. But then alongside him, I think Ulysses Bentley is going to earn first team all SEC honors, because I think he should be a really, really explosive, fun to watch kick returner. I think they're going to use him a lot as a receiver out of the backfield. And I think they're even going to get him, you know, in space a little bit. They did a little bit at SMU where they kind of used him again, kind of Trigg being that anchor point or whomever the tight end is or whatever, kind of undercut the tight end route. Maybe dink it down to Bentley, and then Trigg can set a block and Bentley can get loose. I think we're going to see a lot of huge explosive plays from Bentley. He might not get the most touches. He might be out-touched by Judkins, because he is, I think, like you said, going to get a lot of those red zone carries. That's all okay, because Bentley's going to have the opportunity to shine in other areas. So I guess my bold prediction or hot take or whatever is that both Zach Evans and Ulysses Bentley earn SEC first team honors.
Wow. Okay. I don't hate that at all. I do think you're going to see a more emphatic usage of Bentley and his skill set. I think they're going to get him involved in the passing game a lot just because of his versatility and how he can do it all. I think he's more than capable to run the football, but I think he's going to be a headache for people in the slot, putting him in jet motion, getting him, you know, running full speed before the defense can move, I think is going to be crucial. But yeah, I mean, I think he's going to have a ton of touches. And yeah, I mean, Zach Evans is probably one of the biggest breakout guys in college football, potential breakout guys. I mean, the talent's there. We know it's there. And I do think it's going to be quite the unique situation for him because of the depth they have at running back, where they don't have to give him the ball 30 times a game. They'll be able to keep him fresh throughout games. And I think that's going to be huge for Ole Miss as they get the quarterback situation settled and they've got that early cushion in the non-con to figure things out, not just at quarterback, but how they want to use these running backs. So, yeah, I love that. I love that bold take. As far as, so you gave one for the offense. What about one for the defense?
Oh, defense. efforting, thinking. I think my bold prediction for the defense is that Isheem Young will play his way into a first or second round pick.
Ooh,
this fall.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, it could end up being like third or fourth round pick, but I think he's going to be, his name will be off of the board. I'll backtrack. I'll say this. Isheem Young will hear his name called in the 2023 NFL draft on no later than day two. There it is.
Okay. All right. I like that.
So that could be first, second, or third round, I think. Don't they do second and third round on day two? So, yeah, let's do that. Isheem Young will be a first draft pick in the first three rounds of the 2023 NFL draft. And I think that that's a legitimate option. He was a freaking monster at Iowa State. And I think he's going to really shine in the 3-3-5 system that Ole Miss is going to give him a lot of leash. They're going to give him a lot of chance to fly around like a banshee and just kind of knock some heads around. And then the secondary around him is going to be very good. So they'll be able to kind of do all those man-to-man coverage situations. And then Isheem Young can just be a floating killer out there, just ready to lay dudes out, ready to step in, knock the ball down at the last second, all kinds of things all over the field. I think Isheem Young, there it is, bold prediction, will be drafted in the first three rounds of the 2023 NFL draft.
All right. Love it. All right. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, we're going to have some reactions to the preseason polls, give you some quick thoughts on that before we shut things down this Thursday, Grayson's final show with us. So hang tight. We'll be right back.
Podcast brought to you by Protection Unlimited Incorporated, the Mid-South's leader in commercial and residential alarm security. Wayne Lowry and his team have been serving the greater Memphis area and North Mississippi for 50 plus years and would love to get your business and or family protected today. They offer cutting edge security for your home or business with video surveillance options, and they're monitoring 24/7, 365. You can reach them via phone at 901-754-6510 or email them at info@protectionunlimited.com. Podcast also comes to you thanks to Bluff City Advisory Group, Memphis's leading team of finance professionals. They can provide advanced assistance with financial planning, pension and qualified plan support, and business and estate planning strategies. Former Ole Miss Rebel and founding partner Ben Still, along with his elite level customer service team, make it their goal to help you meet the ongoing demands of your financial needs. Learn more about them at bluffcityadvisory.com. Podcast brought to you by the Berry Home Team. You're ready to sell and make the most net profit from your home. Call Stacy and Rick Berry today. They will lead you through the process from property assessment, repairs, staging, and putting that sold sign in your yard. Both have earned the multi-million dollar club member status, and they would love to assist you today in your real estate ventures. Call them 901-481-6420 or 901-461-6421. After you have talked to the Berry Home Team, you can talk to Saddle Creek Title, another proud sponsor of the show. They're the Mid-South's leader in client-focused, innovative closing solutions. Neil Hanna and his team are more than just a real estate closing firm. They are dedicated to going the distance to ensure the ease and growth of your real estate business. Find more information at saddlecreektitle.com or call them 901-753-1600. Show brought to you by Davis McFord State Farm. If you're looking for good neighbor service and surprisingly great insurance rates, look no further than Davis and his team. They are your one-stop shop in Alabama, Arkansas, Tennessee, and Mississippi for the service you deserve at the price you want. So stop looking around. Give Davis a call. He is ready to help. 901-755-6110. And get your surprisingly great rates today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And we are back here on Not Committed. Zach Berry, Grayson, we're with you. All right, Grayson, real quick before we shut things down here, we're going to do some reactions to the AP Top 25 that was released this week. No real surprises in the top three. You've got Alabama, Ohio State, and Georgia. No argument for me there.
Me neither.
Four, I do have an argument here. Clemson, I think that's too high. You've got Dabo Swinney and the Tigers having to replace both coordinators. It's going to be the first time in a long time he doesn't have Brent Venables running his defense. Very curious to see how that goes. How is DJ Uiagalelei going to respond to last year? You know, Clemson still won 9 games, but he was pretty pedestrian all year long. He struggled. How is he going to react to that and come back? I think that's way too high. At 5, Notre Dame, I'm fine with that. Another team I think is too high. A&M at 6.
Yeah, this one I think is way too high. I think it's I'm going to step in here. This is absurd. Texas A&M at 6 is absurd. You don't know who's going to be playing quarterback. You don't know like what their offense is going to look like. Sure, they had the number one recruiting class ever, but they're all freshmen. Like, I think this is absurd. I think they could finish within the top 25, but I think to put them in the top 10, really in the top 15 for this season, we could be wrong here. I mean, maybe Texas A&M really gets it done. This is the year they figure it out, whatever. I don't see it. I think they go 9-3 when you look at their schedule, if not 8-4 again. Yes, I know the jokes, but I think that's a realistic possibility when you look at their schedule. I don't think they beat Alabama again. I don't think it's absurd to have them in the top 10, let alone, you know, number 6 ahead of teams that are likely going to win their conference or at least be in contention to do so.
Yeah.
I don't like it. Utah's at 7. I would probably put Utah in the top 5. I'd probably have them at 4 with Notre Dame at 5. Cameron Rising's back. He was phenomenal in that Rose Bowl against Ohio State, one of the better college football games I've seen in the last couple of years. They got a 1,000-yard rusher that's returned, and Kyle Whittingham has just created a machine over there. They win over and over and over. The Pac-12 is going to be virtually a cakewalk. I think they can easily win the Pac-12. I like Utah to be a little bit higher. Michigan at 8. Okay.
Fine. Yeah, that's okay.
Sure. Oklahoma at 9. Seems a bit high, but the Big 12 is not going to be very – it's top-heavy. But questions at quarterback, new coach, how's that going to shake out? Baylor at 10, I don't hate that.
So I love what they did here with this poll and how they – because it's going to be Oklahoma and Baylor that battle it out in the Big 12 with Oklahoma State – like not too far behind. And that's the case here in the poll. They kind of left it open for interpretation. Like, okay, one of these three teams is going to establish themselves as the most dominant team in the Big 12, Oklahoma, Baylor, Oklahoma State. They're all within 4 spots of each other. And what I think is interesting, you say that Oklahoma might be a little too high. I actually think it might be a little too low. I think people are sleeping on the fact that Dylan Gabriel is as good as he was at UCF. Yeah, he's had some time off. Yeah, he's coming off an injury. Yes, it's a new coach, blah, 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 blah. But there really wasn't much roster turnover at Oklahoma between last year and this year. Most of that team is still there. And then now you're just adding Dylan Gabriel, who continues to get disrespected for whatever reason by the media. They're not giving him the credit that he deserves for a guy who just threw the lights out and threw the freaking laces off of the ball at UCF. I think Oklahoma has a legitimate chance to like really surprise some people this year and be very, very good.
Okay. A lot of question marks, but that conference is going to help. I like Baylor at 10. Ole Miss fans saw it up close and personal. Baylor absolutely whipped Ole Miss in that Sugar Bowl up front. Now Matt Corral went down. That obviously greatly affected the outcome of that game, but they were just absolutely just tenacious on defense. Oregon, Oklahoma State, NC State at 11, 12, and 13. Oregon, first-year head coach in the Pac-12, so sure. Oklahoma State, another guy that just wins over there. Mike Gundy continues to churn out W's for the Cowboys. I don't really hate that. But somebody's got to lose in the Big 12, so we can't keep saying that the conference is so-so. I did say it was top-heavy. I do think that's Oklahoma, Baylor, Oklahoma State, all right there. But, you know, somebody's got to beat somebody. And there's a lot of buzz around NC State. Dave Doran has a preseason top 20 team. They're going to be battling against Miami and Clemson in the ACC. The real intriguing one here.
Well, I love Devin Leary. I think NC State, they have been, I think if you look at NC State, like over time, I think they're the most consistently average team ever. If I'm not mistaken, I think they like have one win all time more than they have losses or something like that, because they have these great years where they're like really good. And then it's followed by a bad year and then somewhere in between. And it really just evens out. So I think North Carolina State is like the most average team, like of all time, like statistically or wins and losses wise. But I think that this year could be the year that they really do take that next step, because Devin Leary's legit. And their defense is mostly returning from last year, and their defense was really solid last year. But Devin Leary is going to be kind of the key to success there at NC State. But I like them at 13. I think maybe it's a little high just because we need them to prove, like, hey, do what the Wolfpack can do. Mm-hmm. But I think that they could end up finished in the top 10, if not atop the ACC, when all things are said and done.
An intriguing one here at 14, 14 and 16. You've got Southern Cal, the Trojans at 14 with Lincoln Riley, Caleb Williams, and that loaded transfer portal class. And you've got Miami at 16. Mario Cristobal, his inaugural season at the helm for the Hurricanes. I think it's fine. I mean, it's all based on hype. I think there's a chance for the Trojans to make noise in the Pac-12. We have to see how everybody translates to the new program, how Lincoln Riley runs things. I think 14's fine. I think that's a good spot.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's a super huge boom and bust year for the Trojans. I think they're either going to win the Pac-12 and be in college football playoff contention, or they're going to drop a game to Stanford, which is very realistic. In like week two, I think it is. I think they go to Stanford in either week two or three, drop that game, and then you kind of lose all hope for the rest of the year if you drop one that early.
And then sandwiched between those two, Michigan State. I don't hate that. I think Mel Tucker's done an outstanding job. I like the Spartans. He's got a pretty good thing going there right now. I think that he's built an identity, which I think is the most important thing as a head coach when you're new and you're somewhere and you're trying to establish yourself and your program and build that identity. And I think that they've done that. They're going to play hard defense. They're going to run the football, and they're going to be physical. I think that's a good spot for them.
Yeah. The only question there is if Jarek Broussard and Jalen Berger can pick up the pieces for Kenneth Walker III. He was such a big part of that team last year. Peyton Thorne is obviously coming back. He will be much improved, I would imagine. You keep most of your receiving core and are able to kind of keep that offensive base. The defense is going to be solid again. But the real question there is whether you can replace Kenneth Walker III's production.
Yeah, he was outstanding. I actually went back and watched that Michigan State game of the day just to get my Gus Johnson intake before the season started. Just phenomenal stuff from him and Fox
down the sideline.
What's the
isn't that his thing? Down the sideline.
The new one he said, I think it was last year when he said it, was a big hit. It was a Ohio State game. And it was a big hit. And he goes,
Woo!
He said, "You had a barbecue and you didn't invite me." Hurt my feelings. He's just the best. Can't wait to hear Gus on Saturdays. All right, closing out the top 25, Wisconsin at 18 seems about right. It's Wisconsin. Probably one of the more talented guys in the country at running back. Braylon Allen. Just draw a complete blank. Just an absolute monster was great, ran for over 1,200 yards as a true freshman. And I'm going to ask you, I don't know, is it Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, or is it Fond du Lac?
It's a great question.
I don't know if there's some French in there.
Let's go with the former. Let's say there's some French in there.
Fond du Lac. That sounds much more fun.
Yeah. What's interesting for me with Wisconsin is there was a report the other day. Let me see if efforting. Stand by. Let me see if I can get the exact quote. I guess there's some concerns in camp among Paul Chris. I mean, Graham Mertz is the guy again this year. He threw more interceptions than touchdowns last year.
Been very underwhelming.
Yeah, but like has the promise. It shows flashes of greatness. You know, was a four-star guy out of college. Paul Christ said on the passing game, this was Wednesday, he said, quote, "I think there's time when you feel like we are making progress, and then there's times where we've got to take advantage of this camp because it's not where we want to be. There's moments, but we're not where we want to be yet." So obviously there's still 2 weeks to get things right before the season starts, and they have a pretty decent schedule to start the year. They have the out of conference stuff, but it sounds like Graham Mertz is doing exactly what Graham Mertz has done, to where there are times you feel like you're making progress. He's making deep balls, he's connecting. And then there's also moments where they're not where they want to be yet. Sounds like stereotypical Graham Mertz over the last 2 years, 3 years even. So Wisconsin there, yeah, you have Braylon Allen running the ball, but then, you know, Graham Mertz has to be at least good to help that offense
Take
that next step.
It's a great segue there as we head into 19, 20, and 21. You've got three SEC teams. Kentucky's in there at 20. Similar reports coming out of camp from Kentucky that Will Levis has not been as sharp as Mark Stoops would like. People are high on the Wildcats this year. I can't remember who it was. Somebody on SEC Now this week said that he thinks that they will go 11-1, which is wild.
Yeah, that's
bold. But I think Arkansas, Kentucky, and Ole Miss right there at 19, 20, and 21 is fine.
Makes sense.
Ole Miss replaces a lot. You know, obviously Matt Corral, Sam Williams, Mark Robinson, Chance Campbell. They replace the entire backfield. All three of their leading receivers are gone, so there's a lot of pieces to put back into place. I like Arkansas at 19. I think Arkansas is going to be good. KJ Jefferson's back. They return a lot. Bumper Poole is back, which I don't know. I don't know if he's getting his doctorate at this point or if he has tenure. I feel like he's been there forever. Catalan at safety is an outstanding player. Arkansas is going to be good. Wake Forest at 22, maybe a little high. Look, the votes already might have been in, but Sam Hartman, unfortunately, may be out for the year. We don't know. It hasn't been disclosed what happened yet, but drastically changes the offense without Sam Hartman. Cincinnati
it changes everything. I mean, because Sam Hartman was, you know,
somebody that
everybody wants to root for. And then now you've got to turn to, I think it's Michael Kern, I think, is getting the start now. And that's just not he's just not Sam Hartman.
Yeah. I mean, he was preseason all ACC guy. Just a bummer. Cincinnati at 23, replacing a ton.
Everyone.
But I think Luke Fickell will have them ready to go. They'll be fine. Playing in the AAC, they'll win some games. Houston at 24 is interesting because I do think that that's very, very, very low. I think Clayton Toon, Tank Dell, Derek Parrish is another young guy, one of the better names in college football. Chidozie Nwankwo. Is going to be a name to know on the defensive line. I think Houston being in the AAC, they'll be battling with Cincinnati, with SMU to win that conference. I think Houston should be a little higher. And then rounding out the top 25, BYU.
Well, so Houston, yeah, I'm with you on that. I think Houston wins the AAC this year. SMU has a brutal start to the year. Their first six games, Efforting, You start with North Texas, who's decent, Lamar, whatever, but then you go Maryland, TCU, UCF, Navy, like out the gate. That's brutal. Then you turn around and you play Cincinnati, and then, you know, the back stretch isn't super difficult, but you've got Tulsa in there, Houston, South Florida has Gary Bohannon, Tulane, and then Memphis. But it SMU, like, probably loses to Maryland, probably loses to TCU, may or may not lose to UCF. Navy is Navy. The triple option is impossible. I listened to an interview recently where like Luke Fickell was saying that they practice once a day or once a week at Cincinnati. They practice like the triple option offense. So that's brutal. And then you turn around and SMU plays Cincinnati. So it's like one, two, three, four, potentially five losses in a row. Right in like the heart of your season for SMU could be brutal. That gives Houston a chance to really turn around. And I think they could turn win the whole AAC this year and end up as the group of five team in a New Year's Six Bowl. I think it's a very realistic possibility. Dana Holgerson's legit.
Yeah, I agree. And then, yeah, BYU closing it out at 25. Sure.
I'm fine with that. I am all in on the Jaren Hall hype. I'm buying every bit of it.
Alani Sitake is going to win football games. Spoiler alert. So, all right. That's going to do it for the Thursday show. Your final installment of Not Committed. Do you have a closing statement? Do you have any final words before we
let everybody go? I don't have anything prepared, but I'll go off the cuff here and I'll just thank everybody for hanging with us over the last 7 months. I'm glad that we were able to help y'all maybe get through the dead period, something to look forward to, football talk on a Tuesday in February. I'm glad we could provide that. Again, this is not the last you will hear from me, not the last that you will hear from Zach and I together. No matter how many times the universe tries to pull us away from each other, we always seem to come gravitating back. So this is not the last you'll hear from me. Follow Zach at Zach_Berry on Twitter. Keep up with the Ole Miss spirit. They do great stuff over there. And then myself is at JSonJW on Twitter. Give me a follow, stick up, keep up with me. I'll be probably able to announce my next move. Oh God, probably sometime next week. Big things coming, but this will not be the last you hear from me within the Ole Miss space. Obviously, despite the fact that I am a quote unquote national guy, Ole Miss is where my heart lies. So you'll be hearing plenty more from me. Thank y'all for listening. It's been a hell of a ride. And now y'all stay tuned to Zach's. I don't know if you want to tease it here. Zach's got a new podcast cooking that has been a fan favorite in the past. Y'all definitely tune into that because it's a good one.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Yeah. Inaugural episode is out now. Hit that line. First episode, we talked over under win totals for the SEC. That'll be coming to you once a week. We will talk all things sports handicapping. Obviously, we will focus on college football. So not sure if we're going to throw the NFL in there. I think we're going to stick with the college football and keep it Ole Miss centric. But we'll talk games every week, give you locks to either tail or fade. And if the numbers are right, I feel confident that they will be. I think people are really gonna like this show. We'll keep it rolling, and we'll do college basketball, we'll do college baseball. So we'll have some fun with it. But yeah, it's wherever you find your podcast, wherever you enjoy your podcast, Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, SoundCloud, it's all there. Podbean, I think. It's there in the Talk of Champions Network. So would love for you to download it, give it a listen. We talk all 14 teams in the SEC, give our thoughts on their win totals. So that's going to do it for the Thursday show. Thank you to you, the listener, and the subscribers at OM Spirit for the questions. We always appreciate a good mailbag. And thanks to the sponsors that make the show possible. And thanks to Grayson for being gracious with his time. It's been fun. We'll have him back on during the season. We'll talk some more football with him for sure. But that's going to do it. Remember to like, subscribe, leave a review. Let us know what you like, don't like. And we'll talk to you again next Tuesday, as Ole Miss expects some big news on Sunday for Megan Williams. So with that,
We will talk to you next week. Yeah.